Okay, Wednesday evening, 10/6/21. A no-nonsense look at the book of Revelation. I titled this The Rapture Theory, Much Ado About Nothing. Okay, read y'all a little bit first. The church has been preoccupied, so they have been unable to occupy as the Lord commanded us to do. They've been deceived with a theory that cannot even be properly verified by Scripture. I believe, just like everything else the devil has done, that this theory is to keep people's focus on that and not on the thief that has stolen their inheritance that God has given them. Fake news is what I have to say about it. A waste of time, like sitting in front of the tail-eye vision and oblivious of what is going on around you. The biggest discussion among the church is the topic and argument about if you are pre, mid, or post concerning the rapture. Well, we're going to have a look at the three scriptures that support their claim and see what it really says and see if there is any validation with other scriptures to substantiate their claims. I tried to look up some references on pre, mid, and post, and there was so much all over the place stuff, I mean, really. But I just decided to look at these three scriptures and get out my Strong's Concordance to get a clearer picture. So that's what I did. All right, pre, a rapture before the 7 years of tribulation. Mid, a rapture in the middle of the 7 years, which would be 3.5 years, called the Great Tribulation. Or they call the Great Tribulation. Post, a rapture after 7 years of tribulation. The world does not appear anywhere, or the rapture does not appear anywhere in the Bible. What does the word rapture actually mean? Let me just tell you, give you a heads up, don't do any researches on Google. Joe Biden is asking, or whoever it is, that anybody that does any searches on Google that they don't like, they'll send a warrant out for their arrest. So go on DuckDuckGo if you want to do it. I'm thinking, this is what my thinking was. I said, Lord, enough is enough. They've gone too far. They have gone too far. It's time. That's the way I felt about it. Okay. So I looked up the rapture on DuckDuckGo. Okay, this is what it means, rapture. The state of being transported by a lofty emotion, ecstasy. An expression of ecstatic feeling. The transporting of a person from one place to another, especially to heaven by supernatural means. All right, so we're going to look at some scriptures here. The first one is 1 Thessalonians 4:17, which is the biggie. Well, we'll start here. We'll start verse 13 here. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. I'm kind of echoey, dear. Thank you. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. He says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Right here, the words caught up right here means to snatch or take away. You will also notice that there are no scriptures in the book of Revelation about this event. The end time book on end time events, it's not in there. Well, I'll show you that. Okay, now let's look at Matthew 24. Verse 30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. All right, I looked up in the Strong's heaven. It means the sky. Genesis 1:8 talks about the firmament is called heaven. All right, let's look at Revelation 7 right quick. Verse 1. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. So we see here all the tribes, all 12 tribes are sealed. Okay. We as a church are sealed for battle and protection, not for escape. Why would the Lord seal us? Why? If we're just going to go to heaven, we'd be safe there, right? Mm-hmm. All right. It is not an event of going to heaven, but rather gathering under the firmament, the sky, the heaven. Can you imagine seeing him come and you're so excited and you start screaming to everyone, it's the Lord, and he is so excited to see us and we him, that we just float up together around him. This is how I see this event. Just like the angel said in Revelation 1. We'll look at that right quick. Revelation 1. It's in 1, but it's also, okay. It's also in Acts. Well, let's look at Acts. This is the, okay, I put everything, we'll get there. All right. Well, I've got it wrong. Well, just go to Revelation. It's not Acts, it's Revelation. All right, this is 1:7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Where is the other one? I know there's another account. I thought it was in Acts. It is in Acts. It's in Acts chapter 1. That's where I got wrong. All right. Verse 9 of chapter 1. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. So, if the Lord was going to say, I'll be coming to get you in a secret where nobody knows. I think he would have told them, don't you? I think the angels would have told them. They would have said that no man knows the day or the hour, but he's coming. Okay. Okay, 1 Corinthians 15 is also another one. One of the three. And this was one is real similar to Matthew 24. This is 15 verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Now that's key. How many Christians have you heard? Well, heaven's my home. The earth is not our home. Heaven is our home. How many old Pentecostals have you heard say that? Quite a few. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. We're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Something to think about, huh? Strong's here, the word changed. To make different? I'm thinking maybe the sealing is what changes us. You be the judge. Why are we changed? To go to heaven? That's the norm that everybody thinks. We have to be changed because we can't go to heaven and be in God's heaven without being changed. Well, his kingdom's coming here. Don't you want to be where his kingdom is? Isn't that what it's supposed to be about? See, we're inheriting the kingdom, not heaven. As far as I'm concerned, heaven's just one big old hotel. It's holding the ones that have died, waiting till this end time, where he's going to have his kingdom on earth, or in the earth. All right? Why are we changed? To go to heaven? No, so we can inherit the kingdom of God, which is on the earth. Verse 50 says that we just read. Let me just read it again. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Didn't say the kingdom of heaven. It said the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. It kind of is in line with Isaiah chapter 11, where it talks about the lamb laying down with the lion. A child could put their hands in the snake's pit and not be harmed. Something's changing. It's going to change. Okay. We are going to rule and reign with him. We will look at that a little bit later. All right, let's look at the last trump. It fits perfectly. This is Revelation chapter 11. My thing is, Scripture interprets Scripture. You can't just pull out a few scraps and try to form a doctrine out of it. I think it's going to show all the way through what God's plan is and God's way. All right. Am I ready to argue with some of these people who are so set in their ways? No. I'm not going to argue. I already know the truth. I don't need to argue. All right. Revelation 11:15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Amen. I'll keep reading. And the 24 elders, which sat before God on their seats, fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. Is that what's going on? Absolutely. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. There's that storm. Okay. Y'all get that? All right. Finally, we're going to get to really kick some devil butt. Finally, that's what this is about, isn't it? It's a time of kicking out these deep-rooted strongholds of the enemy that have been here since Genesis. Okay, now 1 Thessalonians, we'll go back. I think they fit together really well. All right, 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you saw not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. This we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. We just read the last trump. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. I told you, we're excited. We see the Lord coming. Lord! We're going to be changed. It says, there's a scripture, I didn't put this down here, but it says that when we see him, we will be like him. It's like instant change. No more the kingdoms of this world, but the kingdoms of our God, okay? So shall we ever be with the Lord. He'll never leave us. Okay. Hope y'all see that. I sure did this morning. All right. The word air, or caught up here, air. Air means to respire. It just means air. That's it, air. Just the gathering place to get the battle plan, I think. We're going to rule and reign with them. We're part of this battle, this end-day battle. Okay, in these three scriptures, I see nothing that will indicate any transportation to heaven. We're being gathered to reign for the next 1,000 years. All right, with that, let's go to Revelation 20. Verse 4. Now we know the devils get thrown in the pit. This is, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. All right. Note verses 5 and 6 there. Satan's bunch is marked, and so are God's. This gathering, plain to see, is also where the dead in Christ come out of their graves and receive their resurrected bodies. This goes along with what Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 24 that we just looked at. Let's go back. 24, 29. Immediately, after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man. The heaven here, I didn't look that up, but I would be willing to say it's probably the firmament. It says in one scripture he's going to roll it up like a scroll. The heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. It indicates here, this is no secret thing. It's everybody's going to see him right here. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. We read in Revelation, those that see him that aren't of him, they're going to wail because of it. This ain't no secret anything. This is a big deal. I mean, a big deal. Okay, here we intersect with Revelation chapter 7 that I just read. We'll go back. Where the angels are standing on the corners of the earth and they're ready to seal God's people. All right? And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. And there's 12 from each tribe, 12,000. Okay. Which is the New Jerusalem? We are the New Jerusalem. It is a city, but it is the church. I don't understand all of it, but that's what the scripture says. All right, scripture interprets scripture. The first resurrection where the dead are changed, but we are all gathered together to do this great battle that I believe we are in right now. If the rapture were legitimate, I would think you would at least find it in the book of Revelation. I'd like for them to be right, I guess. I don't know. From the very beginning, God set his man in the garden to keep it, and that commission has not changed. Genesis 1, 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. All right, in chapter 2, verse 8. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. There's a place in Revelation that talks about partaking of that tree. Sounds like he wants us to be there. Does it kind of sound that way? And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. And the name of the first is Pison, that it is which compasses the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. There is Bedlam and onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon. The same it is that compasses the whole land of Ethiopia. The name of the third river is Sedekel, that is it which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. He was supposed to fill the earth with this garden, was to grow. Okay. In other words, we are made to take dominion, to take it and to keep it. Okay, now go over to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to see a history, the Faith Hall of Fame, of man made in the image and likeness of God, walking by faith, overcoming, just like God set down in Genesis 1. Now, Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Isn't that how God operated? Absolutely. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. God loves faith, and he wants to be with this man. That's why he made the garden. That's why he's bringing the garden back. We're going back to Eden. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. What I was going to say about Enoch, when he gets one that uses that radical faith that they use, like Elijah, like Enoch, God said, come on up here. I can't stand it. I got to have you around all the time. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah was warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, as so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. This is all about taking dominion, taking what God has said is yours. That's what the Faith Hall of Fame is about. That's what the whole book is about. It's a book about our history. Most people don't see it that way. I see it. I mean, I see it perfectly. All right, we're not going to read all of that because you know. All right, it's all been about taking our land and occupying and keeping the devil out of it. That's all it's been over. It's over and over and over again. That's all the whole book, old and new, is about. Still that way. We will give an account. The Lord will give us stuff to do, and he will ask us, what'd you do with what I told you to do? Yeah. I heard someone, a Christian, say this, well, heaven is not our home. I mean, heaven is our home. The earth is not our home. We were never made for here. I'm thinking, no, the earth was made for man, and God has given the earth to man as an inheritance. Okay, let's see here. In other words, let's all fly away to heaven, just let the devil have it. Isn't that kind of the way it is? Who cares? Just like whoever that person was that had the dream about the airliner full of Christians, they had no place to land because the whole earth was a cesspool. They let the devil stink it all up. And now they wanted a way out. They didn't want to land there. They didn't want to go and take back what the devil has stolen. To me, this is what Armageddon's about. It's taken back what the devil's stolen. Taking out his minions. All of them. They will not be able to be on the earth and be the way they are. They won't be able to. All right. I'm going to heaven. I don't even want to think about that. I don't want to talk about it. Don't want to hear about it. I've got my mind set. I got my suitcase packed. And And you know, it amazes me. There's so many, you know, different programmers that are Christians, and all they can talk about is they can't wait for the med beds. Like, Jesus' blood wasn't enough. The stripes on his back wasn't enough. I want to go, med beds? I personally think the med beds are from that other side, just to be honest. Pharmacia, just in a more advanced way. I hope all that gets ironed out. I really do. But anyway, well, y'all pray, pray. Y'all pray, you know, pray that, you know, they got those deep state people and they get them all in Gitmo and that we get the med beds. I'm going, Jesus is better than any med bed. What a slap in the face. They just may get their wish, but it may not be the way they think. Okay. God is our home and he made the earth for man. It is sad to say, but some Christians look at dominion like it's some kind of cult. They absolutely have no concept of us taking dominion. Most Christians know nothing about spiritual warfare. Nothing. They don't know how to do anything. Every time they have a problem, they run to the preacher to get prayed for. They call CBN and TBN and whoever else. You might as well call CNN. I'm just saying, that's the way it is. Instead of thinking, we're to be operating the kingdom of God. That's what we're put here for. And you know what? What's going to be so great about it? When Jesus comes, we won't miss a lick. We're so used to following the Spirit and walking in the kingdom of God, we'll just get right in behind Jesus and we'll just keep on trucking. We won't, nothing will change except, you know, the changes in our bodies and those kind of things, living long lifespans, that kind of thing. Okay. All right, it's sad. There's just going to be a rude awakening when everybody realizes, especially the Christian, when the Lord looks at them and says, why didn't you do what I asked you to do? Well, Lord, we didn't know. He says, what do you mean you didn't know? He wants us at the top of influence of every mountain of influence. He wanted us at the top, dominating. I mentioned that to a minister one time about, oh, that's that dominionism. I thought, well, the Lord led me into it. I never heard anybody talk about it. But they said it like, oh, like that's bad. And I thought, it's the Word of God. It's absolutely, totally the Word of God. I don't understand it. Even Jesus said to pray this way. This is no rapture prayer. Matthew 6, 9-13. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Jesus volunteered to be a human, a man, because he wanted to be with us. We identify with him. He identifies with us. He said, Lord, I'll go so we can get him back. And then I can be with him. That's what he wanted. He wanted to feel what we feel. He wanted to know us. He said, you're my friends. I don't need a servant. He said, I'm looking for friends. It's a pretty intimate relationship, isn't it? We've got a lot of good to look forward to. Okay, Revelation 22:20 says, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. That's why he's coming. Because we're asking Him. We're praying, Lord, we want Your will here. Most people don't even pray the Lord's Prayer. They just say, well, I can't wait till the rapture comes. Can we all be in heaven? Well, they're going to be disappointed because they're not going to stay long because we're going to be here. I think Jesus is just as anxious to come as we are for Him to come. All right, the Bible, God's Word, Old and New Testament, is about our past, it's about our present, and it's about our future. It is a historical book. All right. Here is our future. I'm going to read you a couple more chapters, and then we'll be done. Revelation 21. If He wanted us to all stay in heaven, why this? This would make no sense at all. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. This earth is so full of blood. You can see why God is going to destroy the old earth and heaven and make a new one. Yeah. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, no crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, write, for these things, or these words, are true and faithful. And He said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. If they don't choose God, why should we feel bad because we want them to be executed? Because God is going to throw them himself into the lake of fire. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. It's going to sit on the earth, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. All right, I'm not going to read all the dimensions and all the stuff of this city, but I want you to see chapter 22. And he showed me a pure river, a water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb in the midst of the street of it. And on either side of the river was there a tree of life. Tree of life. That's one of the deals of the overcomer. They can partake of the tree of life, which bear 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there will be no more curse. But the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. I mean, what do we need to go to heaven for? We'll have heaven in the earth. Okay. The rapture is just a false flag to keep Christians focused on the wrong thing. Yesterday, the Lord gave me a little psalm. It's called Fake News. Fake news, fake news. That's all the devil's got. Fake news, fake news. He's shouting it from the housetops. Fake news, fake news. It isn't real. Fake news, fake news. Jesus took it all for you. It's real. It's real. My word is the truth. It's real. It's real. There's nothing Satan can do. It's real. There was a tune, but I forgot it. It's real. It's real. Time is running out. It's real, I'm coming soon.